Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to another episode of your favorite podcast, Your Favorite Cousins. This is Cousin Lee. We got Cousin Sean on the line.
Hey.
Cousin Nikki is up.
Hello.
And finally, we got Cousin Adia on the line.
Sorry, no. What's up, y'all?
Wait a minute.
Come on now.
All right. So we appreciate the listen. So let's get the party started.
Okay, so we're going to talk about a couple things tonight. So we're first going to talk about this Alabama abortion law and that Bama governor, Kay Ivey. So this past week, Republican Governor Kay Ivey signed the abortion ban into law for the state of Alabama. So the 25 white men voted for it and Kay signed it. So you might say, what does this mean? So this means that the act of having an abortion in the state of Alabama is criminalized. So it means that having an abortion in the state of Alabama is a felony punishable with up to 99 years in prison, except to save the mother's life. And there's no consideration for incest or rape. So the law is more directed at the medical professionals that perform the abortions, but the people that are the women that are actually having abortions can also still be charged criminally. So the thing about this is you please got to understand that this law was written by another woman, Representative Terry Collins, and it was signed off by a woman, Governor Kay Ivey. So when Ivey signed this bill, this law, she said, and I quote, "This legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God." So this law is a total contradiction to the 1973 Roe versus Wade decision. And if you aren't familiar with Roe versus Wade, I'm sure everyone, if you're listening, I'm sure since this has been going on, that you've heard of Roe versus Wade. And this was a Supreme Court decision in 1973 that said that women have a constitutional right to privacy and to determine when to have a child as protected by the 14th Amendment concept of personal liberty and also being protected by the Ninth Amendment concept of reservation of rights of the people. So these constitutional rights are broad and they cover women's right to choose. So the decision of the state of Alabama denies a woman's choice altogether. So now that we got the context out of the way, let's talk about how we really feel. What are your thoughts on this? Because I know how I feel about it. How do y'all feel about it?
Why is somebody trying to tell me what to do with my body?
A man
right? A man. Like, well, I mean, the two women wrote the bill, but the 25 men, voted.
How do y'all feel?
It was interesting that there were people that didn't participate. Like, I don't know. It's just mind-boggling.
So my question to these men are: if their 12-year-old daughter gets raped and gets pregnant, you're going to make her keep that baby?
Yep. That's what they are saying.
That's what they're saying. Now, I know, Nikki, earlier, you posted a video on social media on Facebook, a clip of Educator Jane Elliott, where she speaks of an idea from Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, where they speak of this concept that the only way to keep the white race as a majority in this country is to make sure that white women are having babies. So the percentage is that white women are the main ones that are having abortions. And the theory in this that these two women are saying is that if white women are the majority having the babies and you restrict them from having the abortions, then that keeps the white population high. So what do you think about the theory that this is a way for white people to maintain the majority of the population?
That is a completely plausible theory, and I'm not just saying that because I posted it. I'm saying it because I've seen several articles about that over the past 3 to 4 years with that same theme, talking about, you know, every year something different. U.S. birth rate drops the third year in a row. U.S. birth rate drops the fourth year in a row. There was a CNN article that I read a while back that was saying that birth rates in only in Western countries were decreasing, not in the continent of Asia or in Africa. Basically, any other place where brown people are, the birth rates aren't decreasing, but they're decreasing here. And I really do think it's plausible. Like Dr. Frances Cuss Wilson, she was the one who originally spoke about how the root of racism, it's a form of, you know, warfare, basically, to control the population. And genetic annihilation is at the base of a lot of racism. It's fear. Mm-hmm. There are more black people, brown people in the world than there are not. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you put, you know, a little bit of us? It's just like the one drop rule still lives. Like, that's why we created the one drop rule in America. Mm-hmm. Because that, it tanked their gene pool for them. They're like, they're no longer, they can no longer maintain their dominance as a, you know, as a population, as a majority, which is why they tried to control immigration so hard in the 60s with having the Chinese Exclusion Act. Only like a certain, I think Chinese people couldn't enter the United States until like 1966, 1965. And then they really regulated the amount. So, like, it's just all really full circle. Even Roe versus Wade was based on, what's her name? I forgot the lady's name, but obviously her name wasn't Roe. That was her pseudo court name or whatever. But it was based on a woman who was raped down south. People don't know this. She said she was raped by a black man, and she wasn't. She came out on TV in the 80s. And basically said she was lying the entire time. So imagine that root of this is you were living in a country basically, and what was it like the 50s? Roe versus Wade.
It was 1973.
Oh shoot, I'm way off.
73. Yeah, that's when the Supreme Court decision came down on Roe versus Wade. Now, I think that there's a lot, just for anyone listening and for you guys too. I don't want to make this about race, but you know, sometimes you can talk about something and it just is what it is.
It just is.
So it just is what it is, and we're gonna go there. So I'm gonna take it here for a minute. I looked at this as I was reading an article about how they signed this into law in Alabama. And it amazes me. And I've said this several times before, maybe not on the podcast. I know I've said it to people that know me. It amazes me how people will vote against their own interests or vote for people who are against their interests to prove a point, or just because it comes down to race or it comes down to sex. So my thought on this was some white women, not all, I am saying some to anyone that's listening, some white women will do anything to further the misogynistic agenda of white men in this country. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if their rights are denied. It doesn't matter if any other woman's rights are denied. They're going to support the misogynistic agenda. So white women have this history. They have a longstanding, they've longstanding fought for the patriarchy in the United States. So all women need to be scared of this type of woman. And when you see situations like this happen and you see the strong support that comes from white women on this issue, it's scary. And I know I saw a quote that former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright said that there's a special place in hell for women who do not help other women. They don't care if their basic rights are denied. as long as they are put on the pedestal and they are protected. And I've said this several times before, white women are the most protected species, of the, most protected in the human species. So it doesn't matter if they're voting against their own interests or not, because in the end, they still benefit from it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's always some benefit in the end. So when you look at this situation and you want to talk about, you know, the funding that goes into Planned Parenthood, the funding into women health studies, reproductive research, those things are slowly drifting away at the hands of these politicians. They don't care about rape. They don't care about incest. They only care about their agenda. And what's also funny to me is that you have a bunch of people who are using their religious beliefs as the basis of this law, when their religious beliefs do not lead their moral compass in any other way. So it's obvious that this is more about life being a gift from God and more so about population control. So I think that is very plausible to think that it's about that. So
yeah, I saw another meme that said something like, you know, like a felon doesn't have the right to vote. And if this is punishable, this is a punishable crime, that person loses the right to vote. And that's all important. So if they do get an abortion and they do are prosecuted, they lose that right to vote. So it's less voting bodies to vote against these Republicans and the people that pass these laws. So it's all like a cycle, you know. So even if it is white women that don't get to vote, or even if it's black women that are losing the right to vote, it's still people that will get out there and vote against you. So they are able to control this in any way they can. So
absolutely,
it's all you know, used to control us.
Mm-hmm. See, but then so the problem with this is, I'm sorry. The problem with this is okay, you're going to ban abortions, but then you're going to have people getting those backdoor abortions, which can be unsafe and unhealthy.
Right, and you have people dying and never being able to have children again, and all that other stuff. But, I mean, unfortunately, it hasn't stopped women from going to different states, to different countries, to do whatever they need to do to do it.
Well,
but
it's interesting,
I mean,
it's interesting you said that piece. They can't. Right.
But hold on.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because if there is someone that is a resident, so I'm reading, if it's someone that is a resident of the state of Alabama and they cross state lines to have an abortion done, that there's a potential that they could still be charged because of long arm statutes, because you are still a citizen of the state of Alabama. So it's very possible that leaving the state to go and have this done and coming back to your home state, is very possible that they could still be charged, a felony charge, for having an abortion. So it just depends on how the law views it, I guess. But it's interesting that, you know, you say these things. So let's talk a minute about the health risks that women face with carrying children. So, you know, some women just do not have viable pregnancies, and this law would stop them, would strip them of their rights to decide to end a non-viable or life-threatening or health-threatening pregnancy. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you feel that that women should be put in a position where they have to put their life on the line? I think they're looking at abortion as being a solution to some people. And for some people, it's not a solution. It is their only option. So what happens when you have a mother who already has children, she's older, she finds out she's pregnant again, but this is not a viable pregnancy. It is something that's going to be life-threatening to her. She needs to terminate the pregnancy and decides to terminate her pregnancy. Just so she can save her life to be there for her other children that she already had. I'm just curious. I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. And then when you talk about, you know, you have people that are getting these abortions, they're looking at it as, well, abstinence is the best way. If you're doing what you're supposed to do and you don't want any children, then you should be abstaining, or you should be on birth control. But what's interesting is things like this, you're taking away funding from Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So these are community resources that are going to give people the information and the resources that they need to be safe, to make sure they're not getting pregnant. The next part is you want to take down Obamacare. Well, under Obamacare, birth control is free. So it's like you want people to do certain things, but you're still taking away the resources that they need in order to sustain whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
You could be abstinent all you want, but that's not going to stop Uncle Pete from putting his hands on you in the middle of the night. That's not going to stop that man from following you home when you're getting off of work and pulling you into an alley. That's not, you could be abstinent all you want. You could do whatever.
And there's tons of married women that are, there's a tons of married women that are assaulted by their spouses. I mean, just because they're married. So like, I mean, I just can't imagine telling a 12-year-old that she has to raise a baby that was made by her uncle, her grandfather, her daddy, her stepdaddy, whatever. I know, I mean, you hear things like this on TV and you hear like, people can't look at those children and love them the way they're supposed to be loved. So you're just setting us up for failure in general. So,
well, you know the answer to that. Their answer to that is you have adoption. Many families. Yeah, that want children, so they put them up for adoption. But so we're not going to talk about the millions of children that are in the foster care system
that are not adopted. Listen,
there are so many children that need homes.
Listen,
and you're just adding to the problem.
This girl, my Facebook friend, made a post, and she was like, "You know, if you're considering an adoption, please consider me. I'll take the baby off your hands. Whatever, whatever." And then people started commenting, foster care, adoption, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, I tried all of that. I have no money. I cannot afford adoption. I cannot afford foster care. I've been denied because I'm a single mother. I'm a single individual. I'm not in a relationship. I don't qualify. And people just got quiet because you don't know everybody's situation. So, I mean, there are thousands of children in foster care, but sometimes the foster care system is so hard to get into for some people that even though they know they could love a child, they can't adopt for whatever reason, you know, because they don't fit this criteria. So there's a whole lot of, there's just a whole lot of issues. I've looked into it. I've looked into adoption. I've looked into all this kind of stuff. And it's not cheap. I mean, and it's time consuming and they look into every bit of your life. So they're, you know, anybody that's going to be around the child has to do this and has to do that. And some people don't want to go through it. And it's emotional. Like, okay, you foster a kid and that kid gets adopted and you have raised this child for 5 or 6 years and you're basically their parent and they get to go live with somebody else. You know, so it's like, it's just a lot. Like, unfortunately, you know, that's not always the answer to put a kid for adoption because it's a product of rape. They might not get adopted. They might be in the foster care system until they are 18. And kids that age out of the foster care system are not better off just because they don't have the skills that they need. They don't have anybody helping them in college. And they end up worse off, you know, because they aged out of the foster system. It's just a whole cycle of whatever. It's just
they never asked them anybody who's ever survived foster care, how they feel about it. You don't know what they think about how they were raised, what they would have preferred. And I will tell you now, it's very sad, but I've literally been seeing, I follow this account, it's called #FosterCare.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who run it, she has a 501c organization, #FosterCare. She made a post about it, and it was so many people from foster care on there saying, I would have rather been aborted than had the life that I led. So people thinking they throwing out oh, you can adopt, like that's a Trump card or something.
It's not easy. You don't just go down to the adoption agency and pick out a kid. Like, it costs money. And you know, people say about going to foreign countries and this and that. Sometimes it's easier for people to go and adopt at foreign countries, or they can adopt those kids with special needs that everybody says you need to go get. And those kids with Down syndrome. Like, it's just a rabbit hole of you should do this, you should have did that when it comes to these kids. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just so many layers.
Even with that, when you talk about children that have cognitive defects, disabilities, special needs, you have some women who decide to go through an abortion because they know that that child is going to have a congenital defect. So, or they're going to have something so it's like, okay, so you want them to have a baby. They're not able to take care of that child. That child ends up in the system. No one's going to adopt that baby. No mm-hmm. one's going to. Who's going to care for that child? It is a big responsibility. I think in this situation, to take away, you know, the bottom line is taking away a woman's choice to choose is just wrong. Because I think that you do have some women that use abortion as a form of birth control, and that's unfortunate. They're poorly educated and they should learn to do something differently. But for some people, it is an option and it's a viable option. And I think that to take their choice is just wrong. But the thing that strikes me the most is going back to the original point that I was making. I think the thing that I found astounding about this situation is the fact that this woman in power agrees with it. Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. these men voted on this and said, hey, we're taking this right away. And she's like, okay, yeah, I agree with you. I'm gonna sign it. So it just makes me wonder about her agenda. Like, what? It has to be something else. I'm like, at the end of the day, it has to be something else. This is one of the most to me, I found it. I think it's one of the most egregious things I've seen in it recently.
You know what? Like, I kind of get it. Like, I get that some people are they're pro-choice, they're pro-life, and they're hardcore pro-lifers. They believe that life begins at conception, and that's what they believe. But it's just like,
okay. It's not your choice. If it's not your body, not your baby, it's not your choice. Right. Now, me personally, do I agree? Do I feel like that should be? Is that going to be my option? No, I don't want to see something like that, but I also recognize that it's not my choice, and I also recognize that you never say never to anything. What if I am in that situation? You know, God forbid that something happens to me where I'm a victim of a rape, or God forbid that I do find myself carrying a child that is threatening my health, or the life of that child is not a viable pregnancy. I want to be able to make that choice of whether I want to continue or whether I want to terminate the pregnancy. And in the cases, that's what needs to be done. And I think to take a person's choice away, again, all I keep thinking about is this, that there's a woman. I think I could wrap my brain around it better if this was a man governor that signed this. I'm really sickened by the fact that another woman, I don't care what your personal belief is, that another woman would take another woman's right to choose, which again goes back to the fact that you have so many women, especially white women, that support the misogynistic agenda of the men in this country.
Right.
So
I mean, I think it gets down to the fact that this is going to help her in some way. Unfortunately, it's all
a career move.
That's what I was saying. And that's what I was saying. In the end, they'll vote against their own interests. She doesn't care. This is the whole point I was making. White women do not care if their basic rights are denied, they don't care about anybody else's rights as long as they are put on a pedestal and they are protected. In this case, she's going to be protected because she's going with the agenda of the misogynistic white men. So even when you look at any agenda that was against the white majority and men, mainly men in this country, they support it. You can go back to slavery. You can go back to segregation. White women are the gatekeepers of their bull. They are the mm-hmm. gatekeepers to extreme patriarchal conservative laws and politics in this country. Alabama is a prime example of this. Our rights as women are under attack, and they don't care as long as they benefit to some degree. They're going to support it.
So now my question is, so she signed this bill. I go to Alabama. I decide to live in Alabama. I get raped. I have to keep this baby. So after 9 months, if I push this baby out and I take this baby down to the police station and I let y'all take a DNA swab, are y'all going to use that DNA to find the person who raped me?
How about this one? Let's say that you moved from Alabama and you went to North Carolina, because I know we saw this. I sent this to the group chat. You moved to North Carolina where the rule of consent is changing. So once the act has started, you can't say no anymore.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, the consensual rape and all that other nonsense.
Right. They're getting to a point now where they're even changing the rule of consent. So you're telling me that it's just because he started, I say no, it does not matter anymore? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. Like, something's wrong. Something is wrong.
They don't care.
And
we've been the Handmaid's Tale before. They've done that before. And I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about, why am I so shocked by Handmaid's Tale? Like, we didn't have Handmaid's Tale in this country already. Our ancestors were Handmaid's Tale.
This is starting in the South. Mm-hmm. I think this is starting in the South. So that way the Republicans can gain control of the South. Once again,
hopefully people went out and voted today.
Hopefully, if you're listening, if you did have the opportunity to vote today, you voted in favor of your interests. Now, the scary part is we don't know what your interests are, right. And that's what it comes down to. But we're gonna keep it moving. Let's keep it moving real quick, because we running short on our time, and we do want to touch on the other two subjects. So the next subject, we're going to switch it up a whole lot. We're going to totally shift this conversation. We're going to talk about Monique for a minute. So your problematic auntie, Monique.
She ain't in our family.
Oh my God. Always. I like Monique.
Let me tell you about your problematic auntie, Nikki. So your problematic problematic auntie Monique. She was performing at a comedy show. And there's this vlogger named Paris Milan. You may have heard of her. She's on YouTube. So Paris Milan went to Monique's comedy show. And she posted a YouTube video basically reviewing her thoughts of Monique's comedy show. So apparently Milan was very, very, I guess you could kind of say she was a little disturbed by Monique's comments. So Monique made a comment in her show that said that Black women should allow their men to have side chicks because the concept of Black men being monogamous was created out of white supremacy and is an unrealistic expectation. So basically, she's saying the headlines read, Black women need to let our Black queens have side chicks. So Paris Milan made mention of the fact that, you know, she wasn't very pleased with the comment. She found that Monique's comment was a little reckless. She also made mention of the fact that whenever Monique is referencing Black men, she's using uplifting and endearing language like my strong brothers, our Black kings, support our Black brothers, support our kings. I love my Black men, and et cetera. And she's always given such reverence and praise to Black men. But sometimes when she's referring to Black women, she has no problem calling us bitches. Excuse me. So also made the fact that Monique has been very transparent about the open relationship that she and her husband have. So it sounds like Monique supports the side chicken. She thinks there's a future in side chicks. She supports polygamous relationships. So we're not going to jump. We're not going to jump fully into the pond of polygamy. I think that that's a totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about Monique's comments and her ideas on having an open relationship. Do you think that her comments were reckless to make, to tell Black women, let your man have a side chick?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm confused. I'm confused because in essence, when she did her first interview in Essence back in 2006 with Jill Scott, she was saying that it was her idea. She was in a relationship prior to, well, she knew her husband for like years and years. They know each other for like 35 years, but they've been married for like 13. In the very beginning, she was dating someone and she wanted to continue to date that person. And she came to him and told him that she wanted to date him as well, like right before they, you know, got married or shortly thereafter. So if it was her idea, and she even said at first when he came back at her and was just like, you know, if you're allowed to date other men, then, you know, I can go out and get me somebody too. She was a little taken aback because she was somebody who held the purse strings. She was a star. Mm-hmm. She made all the money. So she felt like she kind of put it like, oh, like I was feeling myself. So I never thought about what if he did the same thing to me. So now she's totally flipping it and making it seem like it's a service or something that she's doing for her husband.
Right.
Yeah, like a favor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know how I feel about Monique anyway. I feel like Monique is fraudulent. So we're just gonna keep it moving. That's my thought for the night.
We already know
she's fraudulent. Okay.
I mean, but look at the whole Wendy Williams situation. Her husband had a little side piece, and he went off and had a whole baby, and she then ended up in a whole freaking rehab center. So, but my question
back on the narcotics.
but Monique, why are you trying to tell other women how they should live their lives when you out here flipping out because you ain't get a series on Netflix, or you didn't feel like you should get paid as much as somebody else on Netflix, to which I completely understand, but you out here flipping out over a Netflix series when ain't nobody even seen you in like 9-10 years. It's the first time we heard from you in 9-10 years when you start flipping out.
Well, here's the thing. I think that beyond the fact that I think that Monique is fraudulent in so many ways.
Say it again for us.
She's fraudulent. In general, let me be clear. In general, I don't have an issue with Monique, like as a person, as a woman. I just think that some of her ways are fraudulent. Let me say that. So that makes me, she gets the side eye from me quite a bit. In this case, though, I think that her comments were, from my perspective, her comments were reckless in a way of, I don't think that she should go around planting seeds for, especially to men, that they deserve to have a side chick. Because let's be clear, a lot of men don't deserve the dinner that you put on the table in front of them. A lot of men don't deserve to come and park their feet up under the table, let alone have another woman. You can't even treat the one you got right. So how are you going to turn around and go pick up another one? I think that it was a little reckless in saying, you know, having these brothers in there thinking, yeah, she right. I'm a king and I'm Black and I deserve a side chick, and you ought to give me one because Monique says so. That's what I hear.
What you mean sitting at the table, honey? A lot of these men don't even deserve a plate. They can go down to Popeye's and get 2 pieces of the biscuit. Right.
A lot of them don't deserve to come through the front door. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just think in general, in that way, it's reckless. Something else that Paris Milan said on her vlog that stuck out to me about the situation is that when you have people in other cultures that support multiple women, other men that support multiple women and families, they have the resources to do so. In our community, a lot of the men don't have those resources to support a lifestyle like that, or to have enough support to keep two women happy. So it's like, you're sitting up here, I feel like she's planting seeds to say, hey, you know, or another way that she's putting a blank, like, you're giving so much reverence to these quote unquote black kings and what they deserve, but you're not saying anything about what us black women deserve, that we deserve loyalty, that we deserve someone who loves us and is going to be monogamous if that's what we want. Now, I'd be the last person to sit up here and talk about relationships because I'm not the traditional relationship thinker. However, I do feel like her comments were a little reckless. So that's my comment on Monique.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on men being able to support and maintain multiple relationships?
I mean, listen, there are people that are polygamous. I follow a couple on Instagram. And he has two wives and four kids all together. But he also has multiple streams of income to support his two wives and his kids and their college education and everything. I'm not meeting some...
Are they American?
They're Black American. I believe they live in Atlanta. You know, like, he talks about the good and the bad of it, but he also has, you know, the funds to support and keep his wives happy and keep his children, whatever. You're not going to find some all regular dude unless he has multiple streams of income or a good job or whatever that's going to be able to afford two of me. Like, that's not...
Right, because I'm expensive. I'm expensive.
Exactly. So, like, for Monique to put that out there, her husband is not some regular dude that is working a 9-to-5 or doing whatever. So don't gas these dudes' head up because...
I'm sorry, what does her husband do? I'm sorry.
He's her manager, but I mean...
Exactly.
He's her manager, say, right? But
technically, she brings the money in anyway.
True. But
she's the...
You gotta have somebody to manage.
So she's the... Technically, she's the initial source of income.
Right.
He gets the
percentage. Speaks a lot to her insecurity.
It is very pick me-ish.
And I think that that's the problem because the pick me's are like, yeah, if I want to keep a man, I need to let him. No, sis, you don't have to. If you're not comfortable with that, don't do that. But there are people that are out here that are okay with that. And they can maintain that lifestyle and everybody is happy because they give them what they need emotionally and financially. If that's you, that's fine, but don't think that you could be like Monique and her man and do this because you can't. Because I remember this dude I was dealing with and he was like, casual dating is expensive. He was like, because you got to pay for the first couple dates and then when y'all get the ball rolling, then maybe she'll cook for you or she'll start paying for you. So, I mean, dating a good person is expensive. So can you imagine dating more than one person and every other day, every other weekend, taking a different person out on a date?
Mm-hmm. You know what? You have taught me something. I just literally had a light bulb go off. As much as, and it's like totally unrelated, but just you saying that I'm so triggered right now. I get on these guys about not taking me out and not dating me and always wanting to come chill. And I never thought about the fact that you're not committed to anybody. So you're probably talking to me and everybody else and you ain't got no money.
We're living polygamy. Just not a, just unofficially.
Right, you can't take me nowhere. So really, am I being mad at you for nothing? You look cool. I ain't thought about that. I mean, this is just, I'm not trying to give credit to the guy that doesn't deserve it, but I'm just saying in general, it's the same way with me. If I decide that I want to talk to multiple people, especially, I don't have no money to give but my time. So if I want to talk to multiple people, my time is my payment. So I don't have a lot of time. So if I'm trying to spread it between a bunch of people, it gets expensive.
It does. Your time is expensive. Your time is valuable. Money, like all that stuff, it's expensive. And it's emotionally taxing. I mean, like, you might not be spending money, but you're getting ready. You're spending your time, you're spending your emotions, getting to know these people. Like, you know, it's all, everybody says time is money. So you're spending your time. I mean, if you're not going on a date, you could be doing something, making money. Like, it is what it is. Like, right. So, you know.
I think that we can have a deeper conversation when it comes to polygamy and multiple relationships. This is actually something that I speak to often with a friend of mine who has some very interesting views about it. So I think that we could probably, I'm going to add that to the list. I think we could probably extend our conversation.
Is your friend wanting to come on and be a guest? We'd be happy to.
I would love for it to be a man.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Friend, man. If you're listening, if you're interested, hit me up if you want to discuss your views on polygamous relationships even further. I don't know how. If you're listening, get at me. It's a deeper conversation because I think it goes way deeper. And even so much so that this is total disclaimer. I'm not on board with it, but I understand it. And I understand it more because of the conversations that I've had with a few people who are curious about it and interested in it. So I understand the concept more. This was something I was very closed-minded about and in a place where I would never do that. But then, I mean, when you get older and things hit you a little different, bills and life, you start looking at things a little differently. You're like, hey, I need some help. And Nikki tells me all the time, I look at marriage as a business relationship. So, you know, I'm all for a good business relationship. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
I get what you're saying, Sean. Because it's just like, okay, I see some good in polygamy, but then I see some bad in it. Because me, personally, I don't like to share.
Yeah, that's where it gets me.
How do we get from open relationships to polygamy?
Well, isn't that essentially it is two different, it's not the same.
That's why I was saying that I think that that's a separate conversation that we can have. I guess we need to gear back on course. Like Nikki was saying, we are not sure that it's two different things. But in this particular topic, Monique says there's a future in side chicken. So for all you side chicks out there listening, you might have a future, boo. Keep it up.
Well, look, let me see a picture of her husband, and since she paying the bills.
Ain't missing that. We're gonna keep it moving.
Since she paying the bills, I might as well slide in my application.
I mean, they do have it.
She only got paid $500,000 from Netflix. They only was trying to give her $500,000.
Okay, well,
actually, she got a Las Vegas show.
Okay, well, I'll take
the money about to start rolling in. She about to get her Vegas show popping on.
The extra $1,000.
His name is Sydney, and they had their show called Open Relationship. So maybe you can, you know, go ahead and slide in, slide through.
I'll slide in.
We're shooting shots off 2019. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on to our last topic and try to keep it short. So this past week, we had a Facebook poll Would you delete your social media accounts if it caused issues in your relationship? So we posted a poll. We had a couple voters, not a whole lot. So we need you to go to our Facebook and participate in our polls. But on this particular poll, 75% of our voters voted, nah, that's not fair. They're not getting rid of their social media. And then 25% said, yes, anything for my mate. What are your thoughts on this? Me personally, I voted no. I'm not getting rid of my social media accounts for no relationship. What about that?
I wouldn't get rid of my account if my mate asked me to unfollow somebody or delete somebody. That's something different. I wouldn't get rid of my account, though. No.
Okay.
Because
no. No, like, I'm good.
It's like if you sit there like
We gotta get one yet. Yeah.
Like, if you sit there like, okay, somebody slide, you think somebody sliding in my DMs, or you see somebody liking my, you know, pics too much, you might get a little jealous. You might be like, look, this ain't
you're
right.
Insecure. That's not my problem. It's not my problem. I'm good.
So what if they say it makes me uncomfortable when I scroll through your Instagram and I can see
I actually had that problem where somebody that I consider a big brother, I posted a picture and he responded with the heart eye emoji.
So
I responded with the kissy face emoji, right? But it was nothing like that. Like, and I, when I speak to him, when I see him, we say, oh, I love you, brother. I love you, little sis. Like, whatever. That's how we talk. And we've been talking that way for 20 years or more. So, you know, like, and I've had people come in and out of my life, but he is still my big brother, and he will continue to be my big brother. And I will continue to tell him publicly on social media, big bro, I love you. So I posted this pic and he responded with the heart eyes and I responded with the kissy face. And my boyfriend at the time was like, what's up with that? And I was like, well, that's Tyrone and he's my brother. And you know who he is because you've known him just as long as I've known him. And you know, there's nothing between us, but we're just friends and we're just siblings. Like, that's how we play.
I would have said, and fuck you.
So he felt some type of way. He was like, you don't give me the kissy face emoji. And I'm like, what? Like, I see you every day. What do you mean? Like, why do I need to tell you, why do I need to give you the kissy face emoji when I see you every day?
You get a whole kiss. Like, what you mean?
Exactly, like we in a whole relationship. I've never been in a relationship with him. Like, that's my dude. Like, and he's
That is the key part. You've never been in a relationship with him,
right? And I let people know from the start. All right, listen, this dude is my big brother. Like, I met him in about 99 2000. Like, this is how we interact. This is how we talk. I will see him and I'll be like, bro, I love you. And he'd be like, sis, I love you. Like, that's how we talk. So don't be jealous if I tell some other dude, hey, I love you and I appreciate you. And we might not be at the I love yous yet. So I'm not telling you that because we don't have that type of relationship. But he was so insecure that really made him feel some type of way, you know, that I said I gave him the kissy lips emoji. I was like, boy, bye.
Now I got to block you and you bleeding.
I'm sorry.
So
this
I'm not
is
giving
so
up
off
my
topic.
Social media.
But when you said
like,
99 2000, I couldn't think of nothing but Juvenile back that ass up.
Like the beat
for the 99 2000. Yeah.
All I heard was dun, dun, dun. Then I'm about to start
taking
it here. Boy, y'all
leaving there. Listen. But I mean, so I'm not. But, you know, like, no, I'm good. And I use my social media for work. So, you know, like, I have to be on it in some way or fashion. Mm-hmm. And I get tons of random whatever sometimes on my business accounts. Because my business account is not as you know, deep into my personal life as my personal account. So they're, you know, sometimes be like, oh, you know, you look nice in that, them Mickey ears. How you doing, sis? And I'd be like, excuse me, sir. Like, please don't DM me because you like me in my Mickey ears. Like, leave me alone. You know, so like, I mean, I don't know, but if you're not secure in that person's, if you're not insecure in your relationship or whatever, that's not, it's not my problem.
Well, the person that, the 25% that voted yes, they would, their comment was, to them, their relationship is more important than social media. But I challenge them to say, if your relationship is solid, social media won't matter.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, my question to that person is, but what if y'all break up? You done deleted all your social media.
Exactly.
You got to start.
For what?
They don't care about it.
They have to get a new name that don't even go with how they look. And or add all these extra names in their own name so that people know.
Right, your name going to be gone.
That's funny.
Like, if I get rid of my social media, where am I going to talk about you at?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, wow. I feel like for us, like we use social media as a family to communicate with each other. I would feel like at least that point would be like, I wouldn't know what was happening in our family because,
yeah,
you know, so no, I think I'm good. I mean, we can work on, if you feel some type of way, we can work on communicating. Maybe there that leads to a bigger problem that we need to discuss our communication, or you're feeling insecure that, you know, I'm giving my kissy face to somebody and he could take me from you. Like, maybe there's a bigger issue. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with social media. But guess what? I'm still giving him the kissy face emoji. Like, that's my brother. Okay? That's how I feel.
You
don't get mad at the kissy face. Don't get mad at the chick with the kissy face emoji.
Listen, but I'm
like, oh, you mad? You
like,
mad, Lou?
If you want him, you can have him. If it's that easy, that all she got to do is give you a kissy face emoji, and you feel like you can slide over there. Be it. Come on, pack your stuff up and move out. Like, I'm
no,
good.
Not slide. I'm just saying, she. You met little Roro before? Yes, I just gave her a name.
That's fine.
She know him for 9 years before he met you. She's cute because you know that matters to us.
Right.
And y'all, you met her a couple times, but you know he talks about her sometimes because that's his friend for 9 years.
As long as they've never been.
They have other friends together.
If
they've never been together.
Yeah, then I'm secure with that. Like,
then you good. Okay.
I know that many of people swear, I haven't quite got there yet, swear they can have best friends of the opposite sex.
Yeah. I have a best friend of sex.
Okay. So if you tell me, oh my gosh, she is one of my closest friends and she knows me just as well as you know me, or unfortunately, or she knows me really, then I'm okay with that. It like, you know, like, I mean, if it's not.
You know. I think that's a conversation to be had as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a friend. I mean, I have a close male friend. I haven't spoken to him as much as I used to, but like we've known each other for a long time. Like, I guess we met in 2007. So like 12, 13 years or something like that. He knows me pretty well. Better than some people. Like, he knows where the bodies are buried. So, but people are definitely, I've been in relationships where people are like, you have to stop talking to him.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had. There were, like, you know, periods of time where I didn't, like, I would maybe interact with him on Facebook, but it would just be liking a picture or commenting or something. But it would be no phone calls, no text messages, no emails or anything, because they were like, he knows you too well. Or he would say something or text me and make me laugh in a way that they were kind of jealous of. But he, like, trust me, like, he knows where the bodies are buried. So he knows me super duper well. And he's been there through a whole bunch of stuff, you know, but I mean, he's not like my best friend, but he's a pretty good male friend. And some males can't handle that. So,
well, I think you should put a pin in that because, again, I think that's a deeper conversation we can have as well about having friends of the opposite sex and how that affects your relationship. So we could probably add that to the list too. So I think that's it for tonight, ladies. We've been talking for a long time, and I know I have to get up tomorrow. So,
yes, because we got jobs over here.
We got jabs. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, joining the party once again. Follow us on Facebook, Your Favorite Cousins. Respond to our polls, participate in our polls. You never know, you could be a guest on our show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can hit us up on Facebook or you can send us an email at yourfavecousins@gmail.com.
Have a good night.
Good night, guys.
Bye. Bye. Bye.